Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
Why don't you guys help me welcome Pastor Bill Welsh.
Open your Bible to John chapter 11, and I'm going to work my way there with you. This is an encounter with Peter and Jesus, and say hello to the Queen of Refuge, Joy, who's right over there, my bride, in the bright sunshine yellow. All right, I'm going to pray before we open this up tonight. Father, every one of us is here. I would say maybe most of us, maybe not all of us yet, but we're here tonight because we've had encounters with you, and you've gotten right in our way. And there you were in the middle of our road one day, calling us to yourself, Lord. And you got up in our face because you love us. And you said to us what we needed, Lord. And tonight, as we look at this man, Peter, and his encounter with you, especially this one towards the end of the Gospels, Father, I pray that it would speak so clearly to all of us tonight and with a great sense of encouragement, Father, that you still have things to say to us as you disciple us, as you tutor us, mentor us. So, Father, teach us tonight from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know what your track has been through this series, but have you spent any time on Peter yet? Has there been anybody talking about another encounter that Peter had with Jesus? Yes? No? 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 Don't remember? Haven't been here? Didn't take notes? I don't know what the problem was. But this is certainly not Peter's first encounter with Jesus. And I just want to sort of check the boxes on some of the first encounters that Peter had with Jesus, who absolutely changed his life. They had lots and lots of heart-to-hearts with Jesus. The first one is in John chapter 1. You don't need to turn to it, but if you want to take notes, you can look it up later. John 1, verse 35, and that's where Peter is out with a lot of other people. It seemed like all of Judea went out to be baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Jordan River runs, well, there's the headwaters that run into the Sea of Galilee, but then coming out of the Sea of Galilee for less than 100 miles, really, maybe up to 100 miles as it sort of meanders, it goes down to the Dead Sea and then it stops. That's all the Jordan River there is. And they're down somewhere at the bottom of the Jordan before it empties into the Dead Sea. And that's where John the Baptist went to baptize lots of people. So there they are. And John is there with other family members. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that out there at the Jordan River, where he probably went to be baptized with his brothers and all these other people, his brother Andrew said, "You've got to come and see this Jesus." And he introduces Peter to Jesus. Well, not much happens there, except that Jesus tells Peter, "I'm going to change your name, boy." He says, "Your name is this, and it's going to be this." And that's not our topic tonight, so I'm not going to go into it. But can you imagine Peter coming away from that thinking, "Who is this guy that he's changing my name?" Little did he know what that next encounter would mean for him. So he goes on back up to Galilee. Next encounter that I have on record is Luke. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But it's in Luke chapter 5, and it's in Capernaum. And he's with his buddies, and they're at the side of the Jordan River. They're cleaning their nets. They've had a fruitless night of fishing. They've been out fishing, but they got no fish, so I guess they're just getting their nets wet that night. They're not doing much fishing, at least not successfully. And Jesus says to them, "Why don't you push out into the water? Let's go fishing. And why don't you drop down your nets?" Anybody remember what they said to him? "We've been out there all night, Jesus. There's no fish here. They're just not biting." But it says, because Jesus said so, and Peter said this, "Since you're asking us, Lord, we'll go ahead and do it." And there's this miraculous catch of fish. And it's at that point that Jesus says, "Now you follow me." This is so important. He said, "Follow me and I'll teach you how to catch men. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And these four guys, they all follow Jesus and off they go on their journey with Jesus. Another really interesting encounter, especially with Peter. Now, he's with Jesus all these 3.5 years. He's really among those first people like you and I He wasn't a professionally trained seminarian. He didn't have a theological degree. He knew some of the Bible, but he really was just a fisherman. You know why he was back fishing? Because he probably didn't make it in rabbinical school. So he went back to the trade and was just a godly man trying to please God, and he has this encounter with Jesus. And so off they go for all these years, and probably close to 2.5 to 3 years in, Jesus said, let's go north to what we know as today as about as far north as you can go and still be in Israel before you cross into Lebanon or across into Syria. And while they're up there at Caesarea Philippi, Peter recognizes Jesus' identity, and he says to him, you are the Christ, the what? Somebody out loud.
Messiah.
Son of the living God. You're the Messiah, the Christ, right? The Son of the living God. But what he doesn't recognize, he quietly accepts the praise that Jesus gives him when he says, oh, Peter, you nailed that one. My Father showed that to you, but you spoke rightly. But what Peter didn't recognize, really what he rejected that very same day, is he recognized Jesus' identity, but he rejected his mission. Because Jesus said very plainly, we're going to Jerusalem. And when we get to Jerusalem, I'm going to be handed over to sinful people. And they're going to do many terrible things to me. And they're going to kill me. And then I'll rise from the dead. And talk about getting in somebody's face, Peter gets in Jesus' face. And he says in so many words, not on my watch. No one's hurting you. And he rebuked the Son of God. And then Jesus again has to speak back to Peter, and he quietly, I think, you know, let's, you know, some applause for Peter. He quietly receives that rebuke from Jesus. He could have argued right back when Jesus said, get behind me, what?
Satan.
He wasn't calling him Satan. He was speaking to the one that was speaking to Peter. And he says, get out of my way, Satan. Satan was at that point apparently trying to keep Jesus from the cross and using one of the apostles, the disciples who didn't know he was at that point being used by even the devil, which makes me shudder just a little bit that even those who are so intent on following Jesus could sometimes unwittingly, as they say, be used as a voice of discouragement or a roadblock to what Jesus wants to do. I know that's probably been true of me one time or other. Well, the encounters go on in Luke 22, in verses 31 and 34. They're at the last Passover supper that they would share together. And there around the table, Jesus said this to Peter. Talk about an encounter. They're all there, but Jesus says, evidently out loud enough for others to hear. And he says to Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has asked for you. He wants to sift you like wheat. I've talked about this before, maybe even in this study, but the verb that's used there, sift, it means to poke full of holes. It's the word that's used, the verb that's used to make the noun that we call a sieve. To sift in a sieve is to, you take a piece of leather or you take a piece of metal and you take an awl and you just punch it full of holes. And maybe drill it full of holes if you're sorting something like rice or something like that or sifting it out. He says, you know what the devil wants to do to you, Peter, tonight? He wants to punch you full of holes. Well, he did that night. And some faith kind of leaked out of Peter that night. He said he wants to sift you like wheat. This had to be the encouraging part, but I've been praying for you that your faith may not fail. Now listen to this. Here's how it reads in the King James. He said, when you are converted, and that means when you turn around, when you come back to me, you're going to run away, but when you come back to me, your mission, Peter, will be to encourage your brothers, to be a strength to them. The man who was about to be at his weakest, he said, when you come back, you will be a great encouragement to your brothers. And so that night, I guess you'd have to say another very personal encounter that Peter had with Jesus was across the courtyard. And across the courtyard, when Peter has said three times, I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him. And the last time he said, I don't know him, he's cussing, he's swearing. I don't know him, blankety, blankety, blank, bloop, bloop. He said, I don't know him. He says that Jesus, who's bound by this point and already beat up, he just says, there's Isaac right there. I'll use Isaac as Peter. And this, maybe I shouldn't use him as Peter for this. I'll look at the screen for Peter. I don't want anybody to be Peter at this point. But Jesus looks over at him and he looks him in the eyes. And Peter knew what that meant. See, he promised that he would die for Jesus, and now he won't even admit that he knows him. And that encounter just dropped Peter. And the Bible says he went out of that courtyard and he wept bitterly. Mark 16, there's another encounter, a special message that comes to Peter after the resurrection of Jesus through an angel, through these three women that have gone to properly bury Jesus or add some spices over the dead body of Christ. And they don't find Jesus, but they find the angels to say, well, he's not here, he's risen. And why don't you go tell all of his disciples? And then those two wonderful words, and Peter. I think it's like, especially Peter. Go tell Peter to go before me into Galilee. So they told him. But it's interesting. I never noticed this even till tonight. I've been a Christian 47 years, reading this book 47 years, and I found something new that I hadn't noticed until tonight. It says those three women went back after they'd had this encounter with the angel. It says they didn't tell anybody. At least it appears that they didn't tell anybody that night because they were afraid. And then it goes on to say, well, they did eventually tell someone. And it even seems like it might have been that night. And maybe they went home, got afraid, didn't tell anybody. But they said, we got to go tell these guys. So they went in. And I don't know. I just kind of picture Peter off in a corner, discouraged and depressed and just feeling like I've got to be off the team now. And he hears from those women that Peter, you know, Jesus told you, Jesus wants you to know that he's not done with you. Well, you go on in Mark 16, the next encounter is Peter. He was in the crowd when Jesus appeared on Resurrection Sunday night. And maybe, like I said, he's weeping in the corner. And maybe he's just ashamed of what he did, his denial of his best friend. And maybe he's just convinced that he has gone, listen carefully, he's gone just too far to ever again be of any use to Jesus. I won't ask you to raise your hands if you've ever felt that way. I know there's people in this room that have felt that way. I know there's people that feel like, I can't imagine that Jesus has anything else for me to do. I might as well just lay up my ministry dreams and just go back and, you know, provide for my family. You know how I know that? Because I felt that. I felt, how could God use me with my faithlessness and with my disobedience and with my weakness? I'm sure that Peter felt that way, that he'd gone too far. Then there's another encounter, and we have no personal details on it. There's no recorded details on this encounter, except that in 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul's writing about the appearances of Jesus, it says, oh, and he appeared to Cephas. Just one guy. We have no idea when that happened, when it was just Jesus and Peter. But maybe the message that Jesus sent through the angels to the women, to Peter, maybe that wasn't enough to get him back up. And he had a personal encounter, a personal visitation from Jesus after he rose from the dead, and it was just the two of them. But that had to change everything for him. Well, let's not forget the one last one after the one we're going to look at tonight, and that's in Acts chapter 10. And Peter's in Joppa, and he's up on the housetop. And he's kind of dozing in the summer sun, and he goes to sleep, and he has a dream, and it's a dream encounter with Jesus, who tells him in so many words, how about a little love, Peter, for the Gentiles? And he would use Peter as the first of those apostles that would go after the Gentiles, and he takes him up to Caesarea. But tonight, we're back where it all got real for Peter, the face-to-face call with Jesus. Back to the same place where that first happened, on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Look at John chapter 21 and let me race through it with you. I don't have to spend a whole lot of time on this, but that's not the right way to put that, is it? We don't have to. We should spend a long time on it, but it doesn't take a long time to get the picture. It's just a wonderful narrative, just a story of an encounter that Peter would have told so many times. So it says this, that after these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Another way of saying the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Chinnereth, same Sea of Galilee up in the north of Israel. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. Pause there for a minute. Let me tell you what I really believe he was saying. I don't think Peter was saying, I'm going to go fishing for an afternoon. just a little relaxation out on the Sea of Galilee. I am convinced that Peter was saying, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going back to fishing. I can't imagine Jesus would really want me, need me, whatever. But he said, I'm just going back to fishing. And he dragged all these other disciples and apostles out there with him. He said, I'm going fishing. They said, well, we're going with you also. And they went out immediately and got into the boat. And that night, there again, they caught nothing. You know, every time you see these guys out fishing, unless Jesus is in their boat, they're lousy fishermen. They never catch anything. It's only when Jesus says, put the net there, or put the net there, or obey me and go. And so they're catching nothing. Again, it's a fruitless night. They caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. It's early in the morning. Maybe there's mist coming off the Sea of Galilee. Maybe he somehow mysteriously veils himself, though, so they don't recognize him. And then Jesus said to them, verse 5, children, hey kids, he says to them, hey children, have you any food? How many of you are fishermen? Anybody enjoy fishing? Hey, come on, there's only two of you in here that ever enjoy fishing? How many of you love it when you've caught nothing and somebody says, how much have you got in your bucket? Hold up your line. How many have you caught? And you've got nothing. And so he says, hey, kids, do you have any food out there? Have you been successful tonight? And they said, I'm going to say it like I think they said it. No, of course not. No. And then he said, well, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And so they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. And therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John writing the gospel, he said to Peter, it's the Lord. Oh, he was a bright one, wasn't he? It's the Lord. There's no way. I remember hearing something like that from Jesus years ago. And now he says, cast on the other side and you'll get some. And now the nets are breaking with the amount of fish. And therefore, he says, it's the Lord. And Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put on his outer garment, for he had removed him. He was fishing in his board shorts. He had his tunic off, and it's laying there on the boat, and he puts it back on because he removed it. And then he jumps into the sea. You know, you don't put your tunic on to jump into the sea. You take it off to jump into the sea. He's a little excited. He's maybe a little bit confused, but he jumps into the sea, and I think he's jumping in to swim to shore. But the other disciples came in the little boat, verse 8, for they were not far from the land, about 200 cubits. You know how far 200 cubits is? 200 cubits is about the length of a football field. So they weren't out there too far, but Peter is swimming in the length of a football field. And then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it already. Jesus had already fished. I think he probably just walked into the water and he said, okay, fishy fishies, jump up. And out, they jumped into his hand, properly gutted and ready to be fired, you know, to be fired up on the coals. But he said to them, verse 10, he said, now bring some of the fish which you have just caught. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. I have heard so many takes on why did they count the 153 fish? And what does it mean? Somebody said 153 was the number of nations in the world at that time. How would anybody know that? I don't think it matters, except that it means that they had a lot of fish, a lot of big fish. And so they bring the net up from the shore, and the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, come eat breakfast. I just love the tenderness of Jesus. He said, you've been out there all night long. You got to be tired. You got to be hungry. I've made you some breakfast. And then he sits down with them. And it says, verse 12, but yet none of the disciples asked him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Yeah, duh. They knew that it was the Lord at this point. Verse 13, Jesus then came, took the bread, gave it to them, and likewise the fish. And this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, and here's this encounter. When they had finished eating breakfast, Simon said to Peter, you got it there in front of you? Let's read it together. Simon, son of Jonah, Do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, well, then feed my lambs. Let me keep reading. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, well, tend my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, then feed my sheep. If we have time, we'll finish the chapter here in just a little bit. But that encounter with Peter has so much in it. And how many of you know that there's different words in the Greek language for love, just like we have different words in our language for love? I can say, I adore this woman over here. I can say, I love her. I can say, I worship her. I can say so in so many different ways and convey the thought that I love her. I can say, I like her. I do like her. I can say, used to say, I dig her. I can say so many different ways. Make it very clear that I have a connection with that beautiful redhead, that I love her. And so when Jesus has this talk with Peter, and some of you know this story, and bear with me if you know it, because there's probably one or two that have never heard this before. Hidden in the Greek language behind the story we've just read, there's the use of two different words for love. How many of you have heard of the word, the Greek word agape? How many of you heard of the Greek word eros? Eros is not in there. How many of you heard of the Greek word phileo? Okay, those two, agape and phileo, are hidden in this text. I don't know why it's just translated love, love. They're both words for love, but there's something Jesus is doing in the wordplay with Peter. You see, before Jesus died for them, he said he would die for them. And when they sat around the table, Jesus brings it up again. And Peter says to Jesus, after Jesus said, I'm going away, and where I go, you cannot come. And Peter said, Lord, I'll go anywhere with you. I will even die for you. And Peter said, Jesus said to Peter, really, Peter? I'm paraphrasing. He said, really, Peter? Because before the night is over, you'll deny me three times. Three times you'll deny that you even know me. You're going to die for me, Peter? And that's exactly what happened. So now when he's on the beach with the boys, having breakfast with them, again, showing his love for them and his provision for them, he zeroes in. Imagine this. Let's say these two tables, which is about that number of people. Actually, it was about seven. And they're gathering around. They got to be saying, can you believe this? It's Jesus again. This is so cool. And he catches really good fish. And all the conversations. And then Peter becomes the focal point. And Jesus just has this little conversation with Peter while everyone else is listening. And he says to Peter, Peter, do you agape me more than these? Now, we don't know what Jesus was pointing to or referring to. I've heard preachers take it both ways, that he was referring to the 153 fish. Do you love me more than these fish? I think it's more like Jesus saying, do you love me more than these other apostles that are sitting around here? Because you said you did. In very, very certain terms, he said, these other ones, they might leave you, Jesus. I'll never leave you. You need to know it, Jesus. I'll never abandon you. And then he did. So the next encounter with all of them around, he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? And I think he's pointing at his brothers. Do you agape me? And that's this sacrificial love where you don't care if you get anything back. You just pour out your love. And Peter can't say it. He says, Jesus, I'm your friend. Phileo, I'm your friend. That's a word for brotherly love. I love you like a brother. You see, he's getting honest. And then Jesus said, well, if you love me, even if you love me that much, he says, I have something for you to do. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep or feed my lambs. Do you love me more than these? Oh, Lord, you know, I love you. I like you. I'm really fond of you, Jesus, which is great. And Jesus said, well, if you love me like that, then feed my lambs. And he said again, Peter, can I ask you another question? Do you agape me? Do you love me sacrificially? And Peter, honestly, again, knowing what he's been through, he says, Lord, you know that I'm your friend. And he said, well, then tend my sheep. I want you to take care of my lambs. I want you to tend my flock. And then Jesus said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you, and he doesn't use the word agape this time. He says, Peter, do you phileo me? Am I your friend? Do you love me at that level? And Peter, he says he was grieved when Jesus said that. And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. You know that I'm your friend. And he said, well, then feed my sheep, Peter. Then get back to the flock that I've called you to. And that had to be one of the most surgical moments Peter ever had with Jesus. You know what I mean by surgical? Where Jesus loves you enough to cut you open lovingly, not haphazardly. Should I say not recklessly? He doesn't do it that way. He surgically goes in to get what he needs to get. Cancer, whatever you want to call it, and to take it out. He loves him so much, he goes after that. And he says, do you love me? And do you notice how many times did he ask him? The same number of times that he denied him. He said, do you love me, Peter? Well, then get back to what I've called you to. I've called you to fish for people, not to fish for fish, but to fish for people. In fact, I've totally changed your profession. Let's just say it like it is. I'm calling you to shepherd, not fish. I'm calling you to shepherd people. Do you love me more than all of these? I want to point out what really comes out of this in this whole beautiful scene with Jesus. But let me read to the end very quickly. He says, most assuredly, and this is Jesus wrapping this up. He said, most assuredly, speaking to Peter, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself. You walked where you wished. You remember when you could wear whatever you wanted to wear? Mom didn't dress you anymore. You could go to the closet and you could put on your whatever clothes you wanted to wear, and mom knew but honey, they don't match, but go ahead if that's what you want to wear. It's kind of like that. Peter, you used to wear whatever you wanted to wear, go wherever you wanted to go. What's he saying? You were in charge of your life, Peter. He said, when you were younger, you girded yourself, you walked where you wanted, but when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. And it says directly and explicitly, verse 19, this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, I love this, the first two words on record that Jesus really says to Peter when he calls him to be a disciple is, follow me. Two words, follow me. And these right here are the last two words on record that Jesus says to Peter. Follow me, Peter. God's not calling you to do anything more than that for the rest of your life. He said, just follow me. Just follow me. And Peter did that. There would be the day when he wouldn't choose to dress in a prison robe, but that's how they would dress him, or they'd undress him before they put him up on a cross, and they would lead him away bound to a death that he wouldn't volunteer to go to, and he would lay down his life for Jesus. He said, Peter, the days of you doing your own thing, they are over now. And I think there's some things that Peter really learned in this last encounter with Jesus. I think this encounter restored Peter. I think it really did. You don't see him going back to fishing ever again. He spends the rest of his life shepherding. He goes on these tours to visit the churches and bless them, minister to people all over the place. This encounter, I think it restored Peter. I think it revived his heart. Jesus truly wanted him, and now he knew that. He was assigned again. He didn't say, Peter, if you love me, just stay out of trouble, dude. And just watch your mouth. No, he said, Peter, I'm going to trust you to shepherd my flock. He wanted him, and he didn't discard him. I think this encounter put Peter back on his mission. No more fishy fishing. Now you're going after souls. You're shepherding my people. And this encounter, I think it built honesty into Peter. No more bragging about how strong he was and how loving he was. None of that from Peter anymore. No more bragging. No more instructing Jesus. No, Jesus. No, not on my watch. You won't go off to die. This encounter gave Peter, I think, the fearlessness that he needed to do what he had bragged about doing, that he was ready to die, because one day he would be ready to lay down his life. And that little fireside chat with Jesus changed everything for Peter. And Jesus would continue with him. He would continue to work with him like he continued to work with all of them. Jesus disappears eventually. He goes up into heaven, and they're all watching him as he goes up into heaven. And an angel comes along and says, "Shouldn't you guys be about the Father's business? What are you standing here looking up into heaven? Go wait in Jerusalem." And they did, and they were empowered, and they went out and they did. And Scripture says at the end of the Gospels that Jesus worked with them doing signs and wonders, and he would speak to them, encouraging them, just like he speaks to you, and directing them every day. And he would train them, and he would very hands-on teach them how to do what he'd been doing with them. Why? Because we're his kids. Because he loves us. Is anybody at all ever amazed? Do you ever have a moment where you think, "I can't believe that God lets me be a voice for him. I can't believe that he trusts me to just move the vase from here to here. I can't believe that he lets me really be a significant tool in his hand to breathe hope and life into another person. That my words and my text message and my Instagram posts." I've seen some of your Instagram posts. I'm only going to mention the good ones. I've seen some of them, and they're full of scripture. And they're full of encouragement, and they focus people to look at Jesus. Do you know that he lets you do that for him? Because he loves you, and he's tutoring you in that. I want to show you a couple of pictures of my kids, our kids. And I'm supposed to push this button right here to make that happen. Let's see if I can push that button. That's a small picture, but Bethany and Starlin and Jeremy and Shannon. Now, I don't know if you know all of my kids, but all of our kids are our favorites. Every one of them is our absolute favorite child. And the other day I was sending a message, kind of texting back and forth with this one right here, Starlin. And at the same time, a message was coming back and forth between this one and me, Bethany and me, on different topics. And I sent the one that I thought I was sending to Starlin to Bethany. And Bethany said, "Dad, I think that one was probably meant for Starlin because you used her name in it." And so I sent back and I said, "Oh man, I'm so glad I didn't say you're my favorite, because then you would think you're my favorite, Bethany, when it was really her that's my favorite." But I do that all. Oh, thank you for enlarging that. So but all these kids, I've had the pleasure of getting them started in music, teaching them a few things on piano, teaching them a few guitar chords. I've been able to tutor some of them, but my favorite picture of all is this one. And I'll put it up on the screen for you. I think it's going to come up too. It's this one. And that's the little blonde girl in the middle. That's Starlin. And that was, I think, close to 31 years ago. And we were in town for a pastor's conference. And she was obviously this little baby, and we were at a beautiful home down in Newport on the harbor there. And they had a guitar there, and I sat her on my lap, and I just, "It's time for you to start playing the guitar, little girl." And I just put her on my lap, and I began to teach her how to do what I do, one of the things that I do. And see, that's what Jesus does with you and I. He brings you alongside, and he says, "Let me show you how to do what I do." What does Jesus do so well? He loves people. He speaks truth. And if you walk with him, you'll have encounters like Peter did, where you'll learn to do what Jesus did. I guess I could put it poetically and say, you'll learn to sing his song into this world. You'll learn to sow his seed into a world that needs truth. You'll learn to demonstrate grace and love, because that's what he does. And he'll work with you, and he will walk with you. Our tutor, Jesus, sets up our encounters after encounter after encounter, multiple face-to-face encounters. And I think what he says to us at every turn is pretty much the same. He says, "Do you love me? Don't take it as an affront or as, you know, what do they call that when you're not really saying what you're trying to say? Passive aggressive. It's Jesus just saying, do you love me? And isn't that one of the most wonderful things to say back to Jesus? You ever start your day that way, just saying, Jesus, I love you. Not only if you can say agape or phileo or wherever you are on the scale, but to say back to Jesus, I love you. And then listen for what he says back to you. Well, if you love me, why don't we walk today? Why don't you let me teach you to touch people the way that I touch people? And I'll tell you what, that's exactly what he wants you to do. So I don't know where he is right now with you. Maybe he's on the beach with you. Maybe he's in the boat with you. Maybe he's lovingly in your face. Maybe he's a surgeon that's digging in to the heart to make your heart, my heart, more like his heart. Maybe it's in your dream. You're up on your rooftop and you got something he's going to speak into your heart in the middle of the night. Maybe because that's the only time we're quiet enough, when we're sleeping, and he can say something to us even when it's beyond our filters. And has anybody ever had the Lord speak to you something encouraging, even in a dream? Let me see the hands of those that you know that God said something to you in a dream. I have the goofiest dreams at times. Most of my dreams are just, you know, my brain synapses going off in weird directions, but there's a handful I know God said something to me. Maybe it's in your dream, or maybe it's in your cave where you've run to hide, and he says to you, I'm not done with you. I'm not done with you. That's what Peter learned, I think, in his encounter with Jesus, is that God still had a plan for him. And it was a pretty amazing plan. He's a guy that's failed pretty badly. Pretty remarkably famous failures. And any of you like fail videos? There were some pretty sad fail videos of Peter in the gospel. But there at the end, Jesus said, you're still on my team. I'm not done with you. And he's not done with you either. So Father, I just thank you for the hope that I see in this encounter with Peter, where your son came alongside of him when he was depressed and giving up and going back to what he knew before. And to hear Peter say late in his life, even in his letters, to say that he'd spent enough time in his life doing the will of the Gentiles, doing his own will. And I thank you, Father, for just apprehending him. And God, I pray for my brothers and my sisters in here that you would apprehend each one of us, Lord. In this moment of our life, Father, we'd hear what your Spirit would speak to our hearts. And we would refuse to give up. And we would choose to get up and move on into that next assignment you have for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let me ask you to keep your eyes closed for just a second. How many of you would say tonight, I know that God is calling me to get up? If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. You know that God is saying to you, get up, get up, get out of the discouragement, get out of the idea that he's done with you, and say to him again, God, I'm yours, I'm yours. Let me see those hands. Anybody else? All right. I just want to go ahead and put your hands down, and while Lucas leads us in another song, take some time while that song is being sung by these voices around you just to tell the Lord, God, I'm yours again. The rest of my life is yours. What's my next assignment? And understand this, that the key to fulfilling that next assignment is to just stay close to Jesus and just love him. Just love him. It all comes back to that. Love him and surrender to him. Let him have his way. Let him lead you. And tell him tonight, God, you've got me. Thanks for tracking me down. The rest of my life is yours. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray you bless my brothers and sisters and use them in great ways for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner, no.